All right, gentlemen, fresh off of talking with Mike and Tom on WTY.com, bringing you Week 11 action, a little bit of an extension of that, with my crew, to my right, Chris and Weasel. I am Kyle, the student of the game. Let's go ahead and break into it. A couple questions before we get into our featured teams. First off, gentlemen, the Ravens played a very crucial game in the AFC North, the division we've given lots of props to, and it was the Bengals and the Ravens. So, did anybody really, like, this matchup could have playoff implications as it stood, and it really was only a one-touchdown difference. The Ginger had two touchdowns and two interceptions. Of course, I mean Andy Dalton, the rookie. And 31-24 was the final score. However, there was a particular touchdown that was called back. Aside from the, I believe it was 1-for-3 in the red zone that cost them 8 points already. Oh, excuse me, 2-for-4 in the red zone that cost them 8 points already, which would make the difference in the game if they'd done their job 100%. Jermaine Grisham, the tight end, had a touchdown that was ruled a touchdown on the field and then called back. Now, the three of us have all looked at it and see murmurings, reminiscence, if you will, of Calvin Johnson's catch from last year. And similarly, because this is an AFC North rivalry and people will be fighting for playoff spots in the AFC due to this game and both these teams being direct rivals in the division, blah, 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 tiebreak implications all over the place, we could have another catch that affects the outcome of the game. So let's just get right to it. Did the ref screw up by overturning it? Weasel, we'll start with you.
According to the rule, they didn't screw it up.
That's not what I asked you.
What?
According to the rule, they didn't screw it up, which right. means you think they made the right call.
Well, I think it's he had the catch. He had the ball in his hand. And when he was going down, the ball did shuffle on the ground. So because he didn't catch it at the three-yard line, because he fumbled the ball up and he didn't have control of it, he actually had control of it when he was stepping into the end zone. And he came down. And the ball, as he was falling, hit the ground.
You're adding an element that I didn't see, but your opinion is that it shifted after he hit the ground.
Oh, it shifted. It shifted.
It didn't, but that's okay. Chris, what do you see?
Well, the rule in NFL with a catch is two steps and a football move. If he didn't bobble the ball five times before he went into the end zone, his second step was in the end zone, then he went to the ground, which rules in the NFL is if you go to the ground, you got to come up back up with the ball. It did shift a little bit as he hit the ground, if you showed a couple of other angles.
It's not what I saw, but that's cool.
But if he would have taken the second step out of the end zone and then went down to the ground, it would have been a touchdown.
Here's my whole thing. There was bobbling and such that went on beforehand. He was out of the end zone. He gains control eventually, takes two steps. In that process, breaks the plane with control. Bing. Touchdown. All this extra stuff, it just doesn't matter. Even though I didn't really see the ball move like that, I'll watch it again if you guys really want me to. But it shouldn't have come to that.
But the problem was the second step was already past the plane. It was in the end zone, his second step.
Why does that matter?
Huh? Because if he would have had two steps before he broke the plane, it would have been a touchdown regardless.
He broke the plane during the act, did he not? He didn't catch it in the end zone.
Right. He only had one step down. It still wasn't a catch. It's only a catch once you have two feet down and a football move in the NFL. So he had 1 foot down in the field of play as he broke the plane. He took the second step, then he went down.
And fundamentally, here's the problem. Chris and I are reading the same rule, and Weasel's reading it as well. We're interpreting it what I would call three different ways. You didn't even factor in the plane because you were like, no, he didn't catch it. So according to the rule, Chris goes, he fumbled at the end, and because of all this extra stuff, it wasn't an official catch before the plane broke. It's too complicated. Something's wrong here. Period. We know we have pass interference calls that suck all the time, but our judgment calls and are left at that. I think it's getting to a point where the official just has to take the blame if he screws it up and does a bad interpretation. Even after a replay. This is ridiculous. I don't want to hear, I get your interpretation, Chris, that it wasn't an official catch because the second step wasn't in the end zone. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. Because the plane was broken during the act of the motion. That means that second step ends the play there. But all this extra rigmarole, dude. And
I think it's because he didn't, because he bobbled it, and because the once.
And when you say he bobbled it, you mean there were two or three tips before we're even talking about control.
Exactly.
Just so we're clear on that.
So once he crossed the plane, as you know, Chris was talking about, he had a completely different role that applies.
See, that's where I'm. I guess I'm technically disagreeing with the two of you. The play all started outside of the end zone. The stuff where all this applies, my understanding of it was that's for an end zone inside the end zone catch, which this clearly isn't. I mean, now, granted, dude's playing a little volleyball with himself.
It was still the act of the catch, though, because he went down to the ground and they saw the ball move once it hit the ground.
The act of the catch, which started outside the end zone.
Right, but it continued through the end zone, which ankles into the end zone because it wasn't complete till the end zone.
Right, but no. That's just not the way I read it. I mean, at some point, there's past precedent for it, too, because they didn't change. Weasel commented before the show, we were talking about the ground can't cause a fumble. That's been changed. That effectively doesn't exist, right?
In the end zone, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
In the end zone.
The end
clear
zone,
as mud, baby.
Mm-hmm.
No, but in the end zone, the ground can't cause fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but play is supposed to cease upon the breaking of the plane, not any of this other, well, if he's in the act of Thursday, and if he farted, if it's Thursday, no. Plane was broken. Play ends upon the completion of that catch, which was the second step that was in bounds. You know, and again, not that any of us is really wrong here, other than whoever made these stupid-ass rules. But the problem I see it is, all these, we have three different interpretations, literally, the same damn rule. Anyways, speaking of interpretations, I interpret that the Ravens need to be worried about beating the Bengals with a ghostly little interesting controversial catch and an A.J. Green free Bengals squad.
But it was a Ray Lewis free Ravens defense.
Okay. Who do you think's a bigger loss, really?
No, I would say Ray Lewis right now because how long he's been center point of that defense.
Weasel?
I would say AJ Green because the thing about him is that he's a playmaker, and the thing about Andy Dalton is that he could throw up a pass and just like Megatron, AJ Green can get it.
We're mind melding today. Chris, I'll ask you the same question in reference to the Lions and Megatron.
Where they would be without Megatron?
Who's a bigger loss to their team, Megatron or Ray Lewis?
It's kind of tough. I'd say last week I would have said Megatron. This week, I mean, you had five Lions players score touchdowns that were not named Calvin Johnson.
And one of them, right, that was a running back on top of that, which
right.
The Bengals don't really have an effective one compared to what they did against the Panthers, albeit it was the Panthers' D. That being said, I'm going to have to lean towards Weasel on this one. A.J. Green, I think, is an even bigger part of their defense than Calvin Johnson is to the Lions for just the reason you're talking about. Dalton's a rookie quarterback. Their running game, at least against the Ravens, wasn't what it could be or should be. Javon Best still missing. Kevin Smith coming out having a great day, the only reason why the Lions were effective. Cedric Benson hasn't been a huge factor. Bernard Scott's been looking to get more of the carries lately. I'd have to say A.J. Green's a bigger deal missing. But in light of Ray Lewis missing, now, we didn't talk about it much on Monday because we still weren't really sure. Heck, when I was talking to Tom and Mike on WTMY.com, I really didn't think it was going to be that much of a factor yet. I didn't have the confidence on that show to talk about Ray Lewis being out. But there's talk that everyone's saying, oh, he's going to play the Niners on Thursday for the Harbaugh Bowl, Thanksgiving night. As a 49er fan, I have to bring this up. Is there any way to avoid, should Ray Lewis miss the game, and the Niners happen to win, is there any way to avoid the media hoopla that will be, oh, it happened because they're missing Ray Lewis?
No, can't avoid it.
Okay. So in order to prove that wrong, both the Ravens and the Niners would have to make the Super Bowl, which is not impossible, but difficult at the same least. And that's assuming that the Eagles don't run the table, as Chris is talking about.
And started yesterday.
you sounded like the guys on the show I talked to today. And then, it kind of tarnishes it that Ray Lewis is missing that game.
But if you're talking about with the Niners and the Ravens, I don't think it's too much of a deal because look at who the Niners have beat this year. the teams they've beaten.
Okay.
You know, with look at the teams that the Ravens have lost to with their list this year.
That's so, a good defense. I mean,
the Ravens play good. I mean, they match up well with good talent. It's they always say you only play up to your talent or whatever. Well, if your talent's worse than you, sometimes you play down to it. And I think that's what the Ravens have done this year with their couple of their losses.
See, but that's a good point. But here's the problem. They're going to be amped for the Harbaugh Bowl because it's the Harbaugh coaching brothers thing. Both teams are going to be like, they want to win it for their side of the family feud. You know what I'm saying? Anyways.
You know when Ray Lewis was playing against the Seattle Seahawks and Tarvaris Jackson had the ball with 6 minutes left and they didn't stop him and game over because they couldn't get the ball back?
First of all, that was Marshawn Lynch. And second, why does that matter?
Ray Lewis was on the field that day.
He was on the field, but was it a Harbaugh coach game? That's what I'm getting to.
No.
But you see where, if you're on the field with the Seahawks, you could kind of be like, they suck. Uh-oh. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They could blow it. Stranger things have happened.
They did blow with Ray Lewis as, you know, Chris was
No. Right. But yeah. I think the part that we're trying to display here is, the reason why it's confusing to see what the Ravens will come out with is because of the personality crisis that has been the Ravens. Oh, the team sucks, so we're going to suck now. Oh, the team's good, so we're going to be good now. The Niners aren't bad. They are certainly not the Seahawks. I mean, let's put it this way. I was disappointed that they beat the Cardinals 27-3. Should have been a lot more. They were like 2-for-5 in the red zone. Unacceptable. But the Niners are a good team, and the Harbaugh factor, they're going to be hyped. So, if they're hyped, is Ray Lewis a factor? I'm hearing no from you guys.
Yeah.
You know? Anyways, but then the point would inevitably be brought up by someone else. They had Ray Lewis, and they lost to the Seahawks, like both you guys have cited here. So
yeah, maybe, lost to the Titans.
You know, maybe that'll be the saving grace of people who would make that comment. Anyways, we're, what, 10 minutes in or so, 12 minutes in? I think we should start talking about the featured teams. Leading off with everyone's favorite overrated quarterback. No, I'm not oppressing the Bears. I'm talking about Philip Rivers. Chris.
The Chargers came into the game giving up touchdowns in the red zone 13 out of 16 times. And that didn't stop on Sunday as the Bears scored on all three trips to win 31-20.
Money.
Philip Rivers, 21-31, 68%. Not bad. 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, ew. 2 INTs.
Ah!
He was not sacked. For the Bears, Jay Cutler, 18 for 31, 58%, 286 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. And on the INT, he broke his thumb, which he's going to be out for the rest of the regular season.
He did have a tackle on the stats, though, but oh well. All
right, we'll go back to that later on. On the ground game for the Chargers, Ryan Matthews, 13 for 37, 2.8 a carry with a lost fumble. Is that right?
Yep.
Yes. He did have a long at 23 yards, so his average was 1.2
epic
a carry. For the Bears,
so wait. He would have been 12 with a 1.2 average. All right.
Yes. For the Bears, Matt Forte, 21 of 59, 2.8 average. Marion Barber, 6 for 23 with a touchdown. And Jay Cutler had 5 for 11, 2.2 with a touchdown.
That was set up by an excellent double-team catch. You know, involving one Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox. Mm-hmm.
And for the Chargers, they're there. Vincent Jackson, 7 for 165 yards with a touchdown. Antonio Gates, 4 for 63 with a touchdown. And Mike Tolbert had 5 for 24. For the Bears, Johnny Knox. Had 3 for 97 with a touchdown.
Two of which were over a double team and for over 40 yards, I believe.
Earl Bennett had 3 for 75. Roy Williams, 5 for 62. And tight end Kevin Davis had 1 for 4 with a touchdown. The Chargers ran 4 plays in the fourth quarter. 2 of them were INTs.
High-class stuff,
yes,
right there.
Big difference in this game is, besides turnovers, 3 to the Chargers, 1 to the Bears. Third down conversion, the Bears were 8 for 14, 57%. Chargers were 5 for 11, 45%. Red zone, Bears were 3 for 3, as I mentioned earlier. The Chargers were 2 for 4.
That's not as good.
Right. Also, big one was return game for the Bears. Devin Hester at 2 for 59 punt returns. And Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox!
Johnny?
Yeah. He had a 53-yard kickoff return. Gave them a good field position.
And if he didn't overrun his blocker, he would have had six.
And Devin Hester actually would have more yards, but two of them came back for holdings and blocking the backs.
I saw that.
I'm like, come on, man. You're trying to keep it fair?
Late in the fourth quarter, with just over 2 minutes left, the Bears went for a fake punt.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Is it a good call? They're up 31-20.
They're trying to put the game away early. I don't know why.
But you got to know this one, too, though. They have their backup snapper has never snapped a punt in the NFL. Or I don't even think he has ever snapped a punt because their snapper got hurt in the game.
Oh, that makes sense.
So yeah. That makes sense now that they go for a fake punt because you don't want to have the Chargers try to block a punt.
Because they could block it and also where he could, sail it way left and they could recover for a touchdown.
Besides, when I faked the punt, the guy was wide open and the punter just overthrew him.
Yeah, so remember the last time that this punter tried that? I forget the game precisely, I'll admit. But it was the same thing. One minor difference. There was no hurt snapper. But instead of overthrowing him, he underthrew him severely. And allegedly, this punter's a former quarterback. He must have sucked!
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the very next play, the Chargers threw an interception.
It just doesn't matter.
Right.
Sure glad we spent time on it.
But the rest of the Bears games, even though they don't have Cutler, they have the Raiders, the Chiefs, Broncos, Seahawks,
Jets,
Packers, and Vikings.
They have the Jets in there? Am I getting that wrong? No. Okay. So, look, they're going to lose both the Packer games. I just feel confident.
No, there's only one
Packer game.
So there's only one? Okay,
Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos, Seahawks, Pack, Vikes.
And they've already done with the Lions, so that's actually good.
Yes.
So they're probably going to lose the Packer game. That just is what it is. But
they don't have Cutler.
And they
have
Cutler.
Caleb Haney.
But who's the fulcrum in that offense? Is it really Cutler?
No, it's Forte.
Ah, Matt Forte will make the difference.
And they got another guy, too, in the running game.
Who's
Marion
that?
Barber.
Marion Barber, that's
so
right.
He's, yeah.
And one more little small fact that actually makes this reasonable, other than the fact that the defense is, awesome, and there's Devin Hester and all that. Caleb Haney came in last year, one touchdown short of the Super Bowl. Fair analysis. Was it not 21-14, the final score of the NFC Conference Championship? I'm just saying.
So their record's 7-3. It could easily win 4 out of 6.
And really, really, all he needs to do is have 10 games, if you ask me. Because the tiebreaker he has involving the Falcons. Where they have the advantage because the Lions lost to the Falcons. Right. Now, granted, some things have to fall, whether that's official or not, because of conference schedule and things like that. Divisional schedule, blah, 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 blah. But the truth is there. I feel like if Haney can go 500, he's done his job. However, speaking of teams who need a lot more help than that, I take you, gentlemen, to the Battle of the Bays, where the Bucks, the Tampa Bay Bucks, take on the Green Bay Packers. You know, this whole Bay battle thing is such a misnomer, because when I think of a bay, I think of a place that's sunny, not some place that's so snowy that they had to put, heaters in the ground in the field. I'm just saying.
Well, anyways. They used to be in the same division.
Long, long time ago.
Yes, back in the
previous 70s. Previous to 2000. No, it was previous to 2000. Because Sapp used to play Favre and, whatever. Anyways, the future is now as the Packers squeak by the Bucks, 35-26. And yes, they went for two on it at some point. Weasel will touch on that later.
Yeah.
Just to beat you to it. Freeman went 28 for 38, 74%, one of his better games percentage-wise. Had 342 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 INTs, basically balancing out his own performance. Aaron Rodgers had 23 completions for 34 attempts, 68%, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, did manage an INT. On the ground, LeGarrette Blount had 18 carries for 170 yards, including what is arguably the best run this year for 54 yards and breaking 6 reasonably hard tackles. Look, I hate LeGarrette Blount, but this was a great run, period. And then James Starks for the Packers led the team in yards with 11 carries for 38 yards, 3.4 a carry. There was a John Kuhn carry that had 2 yards for a touchdown. Apparently, they have another fullback. You ever heard this? Raji?
B.J. Raji.
Raji? No, it's not him. He's a defensive tackle. What are you talking about?
He always comes out of short play.
the mini fridge. PJ Raji coming in, 1 yard, one carry, one touchdown.
Yeah, you got the fat guy touchdown, the fat guy dance.
You get a fat guy spike, and then you get a fat guy dance.
The fat guy spike, though. He didn't spike the ball.
I want a fat guy spike. And by the way, fat guy dance has nothing to do with freaking Warren Sapp doing the Beyonce. That's just disturbing. Moving on. No, that's never okay. Okay. The Bucks.
Thanks for the image.
The Bucks receivers were led by tight end Kellen Winslow, the soldier himself, 9 catches, 132 yards. Mike Williams had 7 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown. And Aurelius Ben had 5 catches for 75 yards. Desmond Briscoe had a touchdown on his 2 catch for 7 yard day, just worthy mention there. And of course, the big receivers for the Packers, Jordy Nelson. Yeah, you might have heard of him. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
6 catches, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Donald Driver, 4 catches, 72 yards. The running back, James Stark, 6 catches for 53 yards. And a small contribution by Crabtree. No, he wasn't traded. Tom Crabtree, 2 catches for 5 yards and a touchdown. Gentlemen, turnovers and red zone percentage are the difference. 5 times in the red zone, 4 of them converted by the Packers, 2 for 4 for the Bucks. One of these, however, featured a failed 2-point attempt. Weasel, take it away.
All right, so the Bucks scored a touchdown with about 13 minutes remaining in the game.
In the fourth quarter, right.
And
right.
It brings them to 21-19. They're down 2.
21-19, that's pretty damn close.
It is. It's close. So they go for it, and I think the pass to Kellen Winslow was a little off. It was behind him, but he should have caught it, I thought.
I don't know that it was Winslow, but yeah, it was Winslow. Was it Winslow? Okay.
So they miss it, and so they're down 21-19. Now, the Packers are good offense, you could say that.
Yeah.
They score a touchdown. So instead of being 1 score down, they are 2 scores down, 9 points. It would have been nice if they made the touchdown, but what it comes down to...
You mean the conversion.
The conversion. Is that even if the Packers did score a touchdown on the next drive, they would be 1 score behind. So they went for it. Didn't work out, so now it's a stupid move, but...
So someone's on notice. How about... Oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. Who's the coach for the Bucks again?
Raheem Morris.
On notice, GFMs have counted your error. You and Ron Rivera are both in big trouble.
I mean, 2-point conversion, it's in the fourth quarter. You got to tie it. Your defense has stopped Aaron Rodgers' last 2 drives.
It's a long game. And
I mean, you got to realize is their first, the Packers' first touchdown was because a botched punt, punt or something like that. The guy ran for the ball and he fumbled the ball twice, the punter on there, I think.
I can't be okay with Mike Smith being worried about Drew Brees and going for it on that 4th and inches in overtime like we talked about the other week. I can't be for that and then against this, because you gave Aaron Rodgers a chance to put the game away, make it a 2-score game, as Weasel very astutely pointed out. And if they did make it, they just would have tied it right then. So which actually shows less confidence in your defense. I'd argue going for it shows less confidence in your defense, because you know you need another score. So you just put the 1 extra on the board, keep it within 1 score should they score a touchdown, and rely on your defense to check you into overtime. Weasel?
Yeah. When you're down 2 scores, it changes the whole mentality of the game. Because now you're like...
And no, that's not John Madden. That's a good point.
Yeah. Because now you have to get a... You have to recover the onside kick if you do one, and that's a whole lot different than just having to score a touchdown and then getting the 2-point conversion.
Yeah,
but you got to look at, I mean, Raheem Morris, his whole thing was he went for an onside kick in the second quarter. He was playing to win. he was going right there, but I'm just saying, they went for an onside kick.
And they already blew that, right. And they want to keep rolling the dice. See, I'm not feeling that.
And then they didn't kick an outside kick there. Packers only had to go 38 yards for a touchdown to score a touchdown.
Well, see, and here's the difference for all of us, okay? I feel like Weasel and I would be having the same discussion and agreeing similarly, even if he did make it. I just don't like that particular call. I'm sorry. Just like the Niners went for that onside kick against the Giants and got it. I didn't think that was a good call. But anyways.
Screw you. You're what, 4-5 going into the game? Going to a 10-0 team? Take Kansas.
Well, okay. I can kind of see that part of it. That's true. So speaking of a team that might need to start taking chances sooner than later, Chan Gailey is another coach who's in trouble as the Bills face off against the Dolphins. Weasel.
The Bills are on a 3-game losing streak after losing to their division rival, the Dolphins, in Miami, 35-8 for the Dolphins.
That's a pretty big...
Yes.
Eight?
It's
a weird number, eight.
It's
eight.
Pretty weird.
They went for two.
We'll see.
Weasel's like, I got the answer, son. Just listen.
For the Dolphins, Matt Moore was 14 of 20, 70%, 160 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs. And the Bills have been getting a ton of turnovers all throughout the season. Not so much lately.
However, the leading guy's been hurt.
George Wilson?
Yes, George Wilson was hurt.
So. Hey,
y'all told me I was crazy to make him defensive player of the year. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you call him defensive player of the year, and next game he gets hurt. So
yeah.
You put a jinx on him.
Oh, no, just, yeah. Oh,
you got the Madden jinx.
And I said Peyton Manning was the MVP last year. Oh, no! What have I done?
What are you, the new Madden cover?
I'm worse than the Madden cover, man.
You got to keep tabs on this now.
Great, I'll be getting calls from RZA.
Moore was sacked once. In the running game, rookie running back Daniel Thomas had 15 rushes for 50 yards, 3.3 average. Thomas was tackled in the end zone for a safety by Kelvin Shepard. 2 points.
Safety, 8 points. Beep. Gotcha. Was it missed extra point?
So they may have gotten did they get a touchdown and miss the extra point? We'll see.
Oh.
Reggie Bush had 15 rushes for 32 yards, 2.1 average with a touchdown. The receiving game, rookie fullback Charles Clay had 4 catches for 69 yards. All right. With a touchdown, Reggie Bush had 4 for 34. Devon Bess had 2 for 25 with a touchdown. Brandon Hartline had a 19-yard reception. And tight end Anthony Pisano had 2 for 8 with a touchdown.
You mean Brian Hartline?
Yes.
Yeah. For special teams in the mid-third quarter, Lex Hilliard recovered a blocked punt and returned it for a touchdown.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah. For the Bills, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 20 of 39, 51%, 209 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 INTs. He was sacked twice and got benched for Tyler Thigpen, who went 1 of 5 for 6 yards.
Because he was benched because he was bad.
Yeah. And
he got replaced for a guy that went 1 for 5 for 6 yards.
Yeah.
Hey, look, the Colts have done worse.
In the running game, Fred Jackson, 7 rushes for 17 yards. Not much help there. 2.4 average.
Not so much.
And Fitzpatrick had 7 scrambles for 16 yards. In the receiving game, tight end Scott Chandler had 5 catches for 71 yards. Fred Jackson had 5 for 50. Brad Smith had 3 for 35. Naaman Roosevelt had 2 for 28. And C.J. Spiller had 2 for 18. The big factor in the Bills getting crushed, third down efficiency, or lack thereof. Bills were 0 for 12.
What?
0 for 12.
Say it again?
0 for 12.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's bad. Dolphins were 5 of 12. So.
Hey, they were 0 for 3 in the red zone also, and the Dolphins were 4 for 4.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we called it out, I think, on or around when they lost to the Browns. Nice little rhyme there. On or around when they lost to the Browns, and then they continued for a couple games when they lost to Tebow, for example, how bad they are in the red zone. We point that out. Henny gets benched. Matt Moore's starting to score more in the red zone.
Henny didn't get benched. He got hurt.
Thank you. That was really stupid. I appreciate that.
Well, I guess he is benched if he's hurt.
He didn't get benched, though.
So. Yeah.
You're hurt. Sit.
Don't even dress.
I like my version better. That's awesome. Speaking of people who would like a different version of their game's outcome, Jags-Browns, or actually more specifically, Jag Del Rio. Anyways, looking at this matchup, really wasn't going to be a quality football game, and it failed to disappoint, I guess. Blaine Gabbert goes 22 of 41, 54%, 210 yards. Colt McCoy, 17 for 24, high completion percentage of 71, but less than 200 yards, 199 with a touchdown and an INT. Maurice Jones-Drew, the kid they call Mojo, had 21 carries, 87 yards, 4.1 a carry with a touchdown. Weasel, tell us about the touchdown.
So keep in mind, he's in Cleveland.
Oh, boy.
And so, after he gets his touchdown,
he's not at home.
I think he puts the ball down, and he fakes doing the little powder toss. He does the little powder motion, and he does the LeBron James powder toss.
He does the LeBron with the powder.
And he's like, I don't know why everybody was booing me. I don't know.
Why are they so mad?
Like, I thought it was funny.
Don't they like LeBron?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, that was great.
He lives in South Georgia, not North or South Florida. Oh, wait. North Florida. Well, North Florida and South Georgia. Anyways.
That was great.
So, yeah. Versus... Anyways, there was another running back, however, that had a better performance than Mojo with 21 carries, believe it or not. Chris Ogbonnaya.
The G Silent.
Dang it! Ooh. I was so proud of myself!
Ogbonnaya.
Yeah. Come on, but y'all gotta admit, that was tough.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But the G Silent, nice. I made notice of that while watching the game yesterday. Yeah. They kept announcing it, Ogbonnaya.
You tried, though.
Hey, yes. How long did it take you to say Ashley the lead? Shut up. So Ogbonnaya. Well, that's easy. Now that's just Ogbonnaya. Yeah. That's easier. That's just Ogbonnaya.
You made it too hard.
I did.
You overthinked it.
Anyways, 21 carries for Chris Ogbonnaya, 115 yards, 5.4 carry with a touchdown. Top receiver for the Jags, Mercedes Lewis. Top receiver for the Browns, Greg Little, 5 for 59. Jarius Norwood had a 51-yard catch, but Josh Cripps contributed the other Browns touchdown. Red zone conversion, 2 for 4 by the Browns. The defense gave the Jags a chance, and the offense failed a chance, going 1 for 3 in the red zone, where they arguably could have been 2 for 3 on third down with, say, less than a minute, less than 30 seconds left in the game, where a ball, obviously in the hands of, I believe it was Mike Thomas, dropped. Oh, no, not Mike Thomas. It was Hill. Jerome Hill?
Jason Hill.
Jason Hill, thank you. He's the one who dropped it. So, yeah, sorry, Mike Thomas, I misallocated the blame there. Jason Hill drop, failed. Then the next play, Gabbert throws some sort of nasty duck that just gets torn to pieces.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was, Jason Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was at the one. It was the last.
Was it at the one?
Yeah, the last. No, it was the last play of the game. Was it with Mike Thomas?
Well, it was the second to last play of the game.
Second to last play of the game, yeah. It was Jason Hill.
So, anyways, that was another loss. And this loss will lead to another loss, as in the loss of Jack Del Rio's job. I'm calling it, in case we haven't yet. Anyways, that being said, the Raiders, the Vikings. Weasel went contrarian on this one. How'd it go for you, boss?
The Raiders stay on top of the AFC West with a 27-21 road victory over the Vikings.
So God doesn't hate them as much as you thought they would.
Yeah. Rookie quarterback Christian Ponder for the Vikings was 19 of 33, 57%, 211 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 INTs.
Oops.
He was sacked 5 times but had 5 scrambles for 71 yards.
Apparently he was pondering lots of turnovers.
Adrian Peterson had 6 rushes for 26 yards, 4.3 average with a touchdown. He left the game early because of a high ankle sprain in the second quarter.
That's kind of a problem.
Possibly could be back.
Yeah, they came back. The stuff came back, the imaging came back negative.
I think they still kind of have to do that. I think the MRI. But yeah, right. So far it was, you know, good news. So Percy Harvin had 5 for 21, 4.2 average, and Toby Gerhart had 7 for 18, 2.6 average. If Peterson can't go, it'll be Toby.
You enjoy that way too much.
In the receiving game, Percy Harvin had 6 catches for 73 yards and finally got a receiving touchdown. Tight end Vishante Shanko had 2 for 42. Devin Romeshadu had a 42-yard reception. Michael Jenkins lost a fumble, but had 4 for 30. And rookie tight end Kyle Rudolph had 3 for 7 with a touchdown. Down 10-7 in the mid-second quarter, the Vikings had a botched field goal attempt that gave the Raiders the ball in good field position that led them to a touchdown. On the ensuing kickoff, Vikings kickoff returner Lorenzo Booker fumbled a return late in the second quarter, which was recovered by the Raiders, that led to a touchdown. For the Raiders, Carson Palmer was 17 of 23, 73%, 164 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked 4 times. In the running game, still missing Darren McFadden. Michael Bush was in. Lost the fumble, but had 30 rushes for 109 yards, 3.6 average with a touchdown. Fullback Marcel Reese had 6 for 45. Carson Palmer had 3 scrambles for 5 yards and a touchdown. In the receiving game, Darius Hayward Bay had 4 catches for 43 yards. He left the game early in the fourth quarter when he was taken off the field on a stretcher after being inadvertently hit in the back of the helmet on a tackle. He was checked out of the hospital, had feelings in all his extremities, and was able to fly home with the team.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was a pretty nasty hit, actually.
Yeah. Tight end Kevin Boss had 5 catches for 37 yards. Tight end Brandon Myers had 2 for 23. Michael Bush had 2 for 20. And Chaz Schillens had an 11-yard touchdown reception.
It's okay, though. I think on those 5 catches that Kevin Boss had, he could have been scrambling afterward.
Yeah. Turnover battle. 5-1 advantage Raiders.
Hold on. 5. I have an asterisk by mine. You notice, I'm sure you noticed somewhere on your rushing stats, Chris Cluey, 1 for negative 12. He wasn't running it, so that was a blocked punt, I assume.
No, it was a... he was the holder, and I think he just messed up the botched field goal.
Field goal, thank you.
He, I think, just couldn't get a hold of the ball, and he just, I think, Ryan Lomwell just stopped. He just like he was in his groove, you know, doing the kick, and then I think he just was bobbling it so much he just stopped, and so he just picked up the ball and just.
Got tackled.
Yeah, got tackled. So
that doesn't count as a turnover?
Should, but it kind of can.
I put an asterisk by it. It's okay. I'm asking you.
It's still, I mean,
it's
that's 3 points off the board.
There you go.
So.
And it gives the ball back with better field position, so it's essentially a turnover.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, still, the Vikings still had a shot to win the game. Following 2 Vikings fourth quarter touchdowns, the Vikings got the ball back at their own 29-yard line with 3 minutes remaining in the game. Off a punt, down 6. After a ponder first down for 15 yards to Michael Jenkins, the Raiders D shut down the Vikings on fourth down later.
So, only 1 score down, though. Worthy performance, I suppose.
A score down without Adrian Peterson?
Yeah. That's a good point, Chris.
To be fair.
I mean, he was in for some of the game, but he missed the second half, did he not?
Yeah.
He
but to be fair, that. The Raiders did. They were without the whole game, without McFadden. So.
Well, yeah, but then Michael Bush, like, you know.
He's all right.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Right. So, speaking of teams, you know, I'm not even leading this. It's another divisional rivalry game. The Eagles trying to find some sort of sign of life. Chris licking his chops as his Giants are looking to kick more butt within the division. What do you got?
In NFC showdown, the Vickless Eagles dominated the game and beat the Giants 17-10.
What? Wait a minute. So what you're trying to tell me is the quarterback that going into this game was 0-for-1 with 1 interception actually won the game?
Yes.
That's the... That's,
the Eagles are also without Jeremy Maclin, too.
Yes, that's correct.
Even worse.
Mm-hmm.
For the Eagles, Vince Young gets the start for Michael Vick, 23 for 36, 64%.
Dream team.
258 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 INTs.
There's your dream team, Gazette.
He gets 4 on the year with one sack. I think he's one of them.
He has 4 on the year.
What is he, about 14 young Philip Rivers?
It's about that high now. I think it might be only 12, but we'll see.
For the Giants, Eli Manning, 18 for 35, 51%, 264 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. He lost a fumble. The fumble was inside the Eagles' 30 with a chance to tie it with a minute 30 left.
Aww.
And he was sacked 3 times. On the ground for the Eagles, LeSean McCoy, 23 for 113, 4.9 a carry. The Giants, Brandon Jacobs, at 12 for 21, 1.75.
Wow.
Through the air for the Eagles, DeSean Jackson, 6 for 88. Brent Celek, 6 for 60. Riley Cooper, 5 for 75 with a touchdown. Steve Smith, ex-Giant, 1 for 14 with a touchdown.
I would make one amendment, too. When you look at the whole Giants running game, 17 carries for 29 yards, 1.7 as a team. Yeah, that's not balanced. The Giants need balance to win. They didn't have that. Anyways, Chris.
For the Giants through there, Victor Cruz, 6 for 128 with a touchdown, and Hakeem Nicks at 3 for 69.
All right.
Big difference in this game, I mean, red zone. The Eagles were 2 for 5 in the red zone. Giants were 0 for 0.
They didn't even get there.
They didn't even get there at all. Time of possession was a big difference, 13-minute difference. Eagles had the ball 13 more minutes than the Giants.
Directly linked to the running game or lack thereof.
Right. Third down percentage, 9 for 17 for the Eagles, 53% to the Giants, 5 for 14, 36%. Of that 53%, the Eagles, on their game-winning drive, drove 80 yards on an 18-play, 9-minute drive to score the touchdown.
18 plays. I was hoping you were going to get that in there.
That's a lot of plays.
They had 6 third downs on that.
Oops.
So six out of their nine came on the one final drive.
So what percentage are they on third?
So if you take
down.
If you just take away that whole drive,
they're 3-4.
They're 3-4-11, 27%.
That's bad.
So they have, when I say 50, double their third down percentage on that one drive.
Tim Tebow looks at Vinciano and goes, whatever, I went 95 yards. You can suck it. Anyways, that'll do it for our featured teams. And let's go ahead and head over to the study hall where I sucked.
And Weasel sucked too because he's got the same score. You both were 500, 3-for-3. I was 4-for-2.
Oh, so you sucked only a little less.
A little less because we both picked the Giants. That's why we sucked. So bad.
Well, and then Shane Gailey mailing it in with the Bills and Fitzpatrick. And,
come on, man.
Fitzpatrick. He gets his contract, I think, before the contract, 12 touchdowns, 6 INTs. After contract, I think it's 4 touchdowns, 8 INTs.
But what's different? Two things. A, George Wilson. I'm not saying. I might have cursed him, but he was a difference for the defense to get them the ball back a lot and make up for whatever mistakes might happen. B, did we not just talk about the importance of offensive balance? What did Fred Jackson do in this game?
Not a damn thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's get an important factor. You're 6 games up on Weasel in 5 games. However, he can make them up on this week because we got to pick 9 games. So.
And I'm only 1 game up on you.
Yes.
And from what I hear, it's a pretty rough week.
Yeah, it's a very rough
week.
I'm
just glad I don't have to pick the Ravens-Niners game. Woo! All right, Chris, check it through.
Starting on Thursday, Finns at Cowboys.
Cowboys lately have played very good on Thanksgiving, as I remember it. I'm going to go Cowboys. You're not next. Settle down. Chris. Dude, yep. You're 5-6 games back. You're always going last. No offense.
I'm going on a limb. I'm going on the...
I knew you were going to do it.
I said it last week.
Do
I was on the bandwagon.
Do it.
You can't go wrong with more Bush. they're pretty hot right now, so I'm going with the Finns.
Instead of chicken and tuna, he's going with turkey and the Bush. Weasel.
Let's see. I'll go for the Cowboys.
Oh, boy.
That means I win the game. Next game, Bucks at Titans.
I have a bias against Matt Hasselbeck. I'll admit it. It's my fault. However, I know for a fact that Chris Johnson has done precisely zero in the backfield. And although the Bucks running D sucks, it just doesn't matter. I got the Bucks. Ooh, it rhymes. Chris.
I get the Bucks as well, and you don't have to worry about Hasselbeck. He got hurt. I don't know if he'll be back.
I wasn't sure.
Did Jake Locklear finish the game?
Yeah, no, he is going to be out. He broke his, he sprained his arm. A helmet hit it.
Okay.
I did see that.
Yeah.
And Locker's coming in, which I never felt that great about Locker, but he looked really good coming out. It is a little bit of a danger. The Bucks won't have film on him. Whatever. I got the Bucks anyway. Weasel.
You got the Bucks.
Trifecta. Panthers at Colts.
Anybody?
Panthers.
Okay, there we go.
Texans at Jags.
Mm-hmm. Anybody?
I got Texans. So.
Okay.
Vikings at Falcons.
Anybody?
Falcons, yeah.
Yeah. Sure?
Yeah.
And you don't know what to do with Adrian Peterson, huh? That makes it a lot easier.
Adrian Peterson will be on the field, but I don't think they have enough... I don't think the Vikings have enough defense to compete with them. I mean, they got Jared Allen, who, of course, is great, Weasel. I'm not doubting that. It's the rest of the team.
4 o'clock game, Bears at Raiders.
That's going to be tough.
This is where it gets tough.
That's going to be tough because they're without Cutler now. And the Raiders, it's not that the Raiders are bad. Their offense is just in an unpredictable state. And I'm not saying that Carson Palmer is bad, but Julius effing Peppers. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Now.
They did shut down. Not I don't want to say really shut down, but they, Jared Allen, they held him up pretty good. I think he was without a sack. I think it's the first game in 9 games, I believe, that he was with that he did not have at least a half a sack.
And that's a good point, but the Bears are a better overall defense with a Jared Allen-like presence, which is why this is tough. However, I can't do it. I've picked the Bears the past 2 weeks, and I don't think they're going to come through me for a third game in a row like this. I think they're going to lose their first one just getting Caleb Haney used to it. I got the Raiders. Chris.
Whenever went with their last six games that they're going to go through, or the last six that they have the Bears left, I said they're going to win 4 out of 2. I think the Packers and the Raiders are going to lose it.
I think you're right.
Especially with McFadden. He didn't come back last week. It might be this week.
Yeah.
With them, and then also with the loss of Jay Cutler. I mean, Jay Cutler the last couple of weeks has been having a pretty good...
This season, he's been pretty good. Once they figured out that the Mike Martz offense of dropping back 7 steps was the problem, the past 5 games that they won in a row were phenomenal. And even despite the thumb injury and all that, I think last night's game was his best as a Bear. Cutler, I mean. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I got the Raiders in this one.
I got the Bears in this game.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Your woman will be proud of you.
And you were there with the Raiders?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I got the Raiders.
All right. Next game.
Contrarian.
Patriots at Eagles.
Look, I want the Eagles to run the table and be the story of the NFL and look like the NFC version of the Steelers that made it. But no, Patriots.
Yeah. I don't know if Mike Vick will be back.
Fairly certain he won't be.
Yeah. And so with that case, with Vince Young, I got the Patriots.
Got the Eagles.
Contrarian!
Contrarian!
It's going to be fun being up 8 games on
you. I know, right?
Steelers at Chiefs.
Anybody?
Yeah.
And then Monday night, Giants at Saints.
Oof. Oh, goodness gracious, that's tough. And the Saints were just on a bye. Oh, wow. What makes this the most interesting is the complete lack of defense by the Saints. They can play tough defense against wimpier teams. The Giants aren't a wimpier team. The Giants established balance. They can win this game, and the Saints don't need it as bad as the Giants do. However, living in the house of the golden helmet, because I'm a Niners fan and my wife is a Saints fan, is tough. However, I'm going to go with the homerism that is my best man and not my wife. I got the Giants. Chris.
I'm going with the Saints.
Damn it.
Because Giants just came back off a bye week. A couple weeks ago. They won after their bye week. Usually they lose after
and they got Prince. I'm sorry about that. They got Prince Akamura back, and he got an interception last game. I think he's going to shut down at least one receiver.
Right, but the Saints just got too many weapons.
He's going to have time to throw the ball, though.
Right, and with the defense, you know how fast the defensive line is. However, the Giants linebackers aren't that great, and Darren Sproles is going to go wild.
Kiwanuka's not that great.
They have two other guys that are out.
Okay, now that's a good point.
Right, they're secondary. I mean, yeah, you got Prince Akamura, though, but, you know, they're losing. They all have 5 guys out in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too many weapons with the Saints.
Wait,
I got the Saints.
You got the Saints.
I'm screwed.
Still up 6 games, Kyle, against me.
That's true.
that's it.
All right, so, well, I wasn't ever up 6 games on Chris, but it's starting to look like last year with me and Chris switched for you and me and Weasel up at the top. So we shall see.
So we got 2 games difference, menu, so we can still be 1 game down.
I have a feeling we're going to trade that.
So,
I think I screwed up on the Saints, but I feel good about the Raiders.
You mean the Cowboys? We both got the Raiders.
Oh, then I feel good about the Cowboys. Thank you, pardon.
The Weasel has the same as you.
Except
he's got
at least 2 different than
he's
both
got.
Y'all.
He's got 3 different from both of us.
Wow.
Nice.
He did 3 different from you and 3 different from me.
Oh, come on. Can't you go contrarian and one more so it can be double digits back? Yeah.
We'll see.
Watch this. Next week, Weasel will be half the distance. What? It's not just a penalty. It's a state of being. With that, that'll wrap up our Week 11 action. You can go ahead, check us out on the website, www.thestudentgame.com. At least twice a week, Mondays and Fridays, if not a little extra. You can check me out with the help of and support of the research that is my co-host, appearing and talking up with Mike and Tom on the afternoon play-by-play on WTMY.com. Follow us on Twitter at VSOTG. Been a lot of activity there lately, too, with the recent radio action there going on. Check out the website, of course, at thestudentofthegame.com. Going to have a little bit more contribution on articles. I've been writing up Thursday games, and there's rumor that Drew, the local stat boy, might contribute. I know, scary. Haven't seen him in years. Unfortunately, it's because the economy is bad.
Oh.
Anyways. So, Twitter, email us at thesotg@gmail.com as well if you want to go ahead and tell us how we got it right or wrong. In light of that, any other questions, gentlemen?
Good.
Hearing none, class dismissed.